Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dynamite! Hey everybody, it's Dynamite Show. Paul Fontaine, Jeff Hawkins, and special guest, Ed Laredo, promoter Ed. Ed's here to talk about his big show this weekend, Poder 6, taking place in Las Vegas.
Poder 6. Correct?
Seis. I'm sorry. Seis. I failed Spanish, which I never took. Ed, you've always done this in conjunction with the F4W convention, which you founded. And this is your sixth show. So tell us a little bit about the history and about this week.
Technically, I guess it's not technically because they weren't my shows, but I actually did a couple things 2 years in a row with FSW before I even started doing my own show. So it's been a little longer. And then I can't even remember how long it's been since we had just by chance had the very first convention here that turned into this. It's been like, what, 16? I don't know when it's been Walt kill his parents. His family, because unfortunately it was that
2009 maybe 2009 it started, I think 2010, around there.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's kind of changed. I'm no longer in charge of it. I kind of was in charge of everything for like years, but
Jason says 2007, so there you go.
The convention went corporate, so
but you're still a big part of it.
Tony pretty much runs everything by me.
And I mean, without you, this thing didn't happen. So, and so you've been doing this show. Yeah. So I guess I remember the show you did where I think was like Promise and Filthy had a match. That would have been an FSW show, but you were involved with that one too, right?
Yeah. That's the one where Tom's mad that he didn't get paid, but I didn't make any money on that show. It was all agreed on that they were just going to do it for the convention. And
but just to be clear, you pay the talent now.
Yes. Everybody gets paid. Everyone gets paid.
We're
nicely.
Going for a hard sell here, Ed. Help us out, man.
Yeah. And not only do they get paid, they get a nice steakhouse meal sometimes, and get to come to the sweet party. I know you've lost some people, unfortunately, but you still got some great talents on this show. Six matches right now, from what you said?
About six matches right now, which was basically what I had planned, plus a little something I was just going to throw out there. So luckily I still have that. But other than that, it's been like, I got to be like in the Guinness Book of World Records for a show that's lost the most talent, because it hit 10 today.
Your champion is still wrestling, right? Christy James?
Yes, I have the champion, Christy James, who didn't make the show last year. So we had like a little tournament for an interim champion, which was won by Brittany Blake. So we're going to have a title unification match between Christy James and Brittany Blake. We're going to have Miranda Alizé versus Jasmine Allure. I got Nicole Savoy to come out of retirement to wrestle cheerleader Melissa.
That's
a good match.
Great match.
I might even go to this. Yeah, I was able to get some people back on the show after losing so many. I got Alex Gracia against, I've lost so many people, I'm losing track of what the matches are. Aria Blake. Luckily, I was able to get Aria Blake. Brittany Brooks. Her, but... Brittany Brooks, who was originally going to be on the show, but is like the first person that AEW took. She actually went out of her way to book Aria Blake for me.
Nice.
So that was pretty cool of her. I got a couple of young talents. Jin, I don't want to mispronounce her last name, so I'll just say Jin versus Gypsy Mac, a couple local girls having a match. And then I got one more scheduled, but I don't really want to say who that is. So hopefully I haven't just jinxed my show, because it seemed like every time I posted the photo on Twitter, I lost somebody. It was crazy. So we're going to make the most of it. We're still going to have one hell of a show. And, you know,
it's all just, women's matches, right?
Well, there's this one geek who always shows up. So he might be showing up. Luckily, he always gets his ass kicked. So.
Well, and you've had men's. I mean, you had mixed tags before. I remember one of the biggest ones you had was you had a mixed tag with Filthy and Brian, right? Was that your show?
No,
that was that was in Chicago. That was somebody else. Yeah,
yeah, that was Black Label.
No, you had one with Debbie Malenko though, a couple years ago, right?
No, it was Debbie Malenko against Billy Starks, and then Brian got involved.
Oh. Right, Brian and gotcha, yeah.
That okay.
Yeah, and that was Debbie. I mean, that was one of her first matches back. So, I mean, you've had some big matches and people on your shows. So this will be no. Now, if people can't make it out to Vegas, obviously they could still support the show by buying a ticket, and then you'll make sure that, you know, if there's any kids there that want to go, you'll get them in. Can they watch? Is it streaming anywhere?
FSW is working on it, so we should be on Thriller on the FSW
Thriller Plus
page. Okay. So if you got the membership, it should be on there. You know,
okay, and that's $7.99. And if you don't have the membership, you can sign up and get a week for free, so you can watch that show for free.
And then you can watch last year's show too, which was a pretty.
There you
good
go.
Show.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Last year, I mean, I heard nothing but good things about last year's show. So,
last year's show was fucking great. Last year, I mean, it was everybody who was there loved it. So, I mean, that's all you can ask. So,
and then aside from your show, what other convention events could people see Ed at? I know you'll be at the Steakhouse on Friday.
I'll be at the Steakhouse. Should be at the Sweet Party.
That's Saturday night. Probably around 10 o'clock.
And then
Cosmo.
And then the brunch.
So Sunday morning.
I think you get the night before, you know, because the brunch.
I know. I'm not committing to that brunch. I told Tony if I show up, I'll show up. I'll just pay him and I'll just be there. But it's like, it's 10. Is it 10 now or is it 11? Jeff, you're going. I know.
No, I'm not.
Oh, I thought you were.
I went to one brunch at the Wicked Spoon, and Todd Martin and I ended up having to pay for a bunch of drinks for people who jetted on us. So I don't.
Well, I was probably one of them. I think I got the bottomless mimosa that year.
Yeah. And then you left.
Yeah. That's how I roll.
You're going to see him, so you could, you know, reimburse him for that.
Nah, exactly. So do you know what time? It's 11 now, right?
It's 11, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then, and of course, Double or Nothing. You'll be at on Sunday. Are you going to Collision?
No. I'm sure I could get, you know, tickets, but as of now, you know, it's going to be hard. You know, I love the AEW shows, but sitting in those chairs at a stadium for like 5 fucking hours for one night is, you know,
I'm going for 2 hours and that's it. So I'm gonna try to get comp tickets, but if I don't, I'll spring the $20 or whatever it costs to get in the door, and then they'll probably put me at ringside. So
yeah, I mean,
actually,
getting a ticket's not an issue, but you know.
Okay, we'll talk. All right. Anything else you want to add before we let you go?
Where's the show, Ed?
Oh yeah, right. Where's the show? FSW Arena, right?
Yeah, the FSW Arena.
Saturday morning. What time?
It's at 12:30. It's half an hour after the Brian and Vinny little show.
Live show.
That they're doing,
okay.
Whatever
address.
So
Google FSW Arena. The address won't mean anything.
I'm sorry, it's not on the fucking flyer.
No, it isn't. Like Jeff, you know what? This thing is, nobody knows where this place is. Just Google FSW Arena. If you take an Uber, pray that the guy's gonna understand what you said. I'm not even joking.
Try and sell it, guys. Well,
you typed it in before he picked you up. So
exactly. Yeah, just... yeah. There'll be people going from the strip. You know, if you're part of the convention, you'll get in a cab or an Uber with three or four other people. And it's like a $15 cab ride from the strip. It's not that far away from the strip.
It's 10 minutes. A couple minutes away from the airport. So it's not too bad.
Yeah. Cab, as Sideswipe says. So 12:30. And if you are going to the Brian and Vinny show, which is at 11, you can get into the wrestling show for free. That's what Brian's telling everybody. So
yeah, we have a little deal going on.
Okay, good. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the key is, I mean, buy tickets, support Ed, but also show up and watch the show. I'm one who has bought tickets in the past and not gone. This year I might do the opposite. I'll just show up and not pay and watch the show. Cause it sounds like a hell of a show. So, and then yeah, you can own, and then you can go and you can have a whole wrestling day. You can go watch Crown Jewel or whatever the hell that Saudi Mania show is called this year. Crown Jewel,
yes.
Yeah. And then
it's King and Queen of the Ring.
Saturday. Yeah. Yeah.
So oh, wow.
It's going head to head with your show, Ed. Here, Curryhead's got the address, 6035 Harrison Drive. Thanks, John.
Thank you, John.
Oh, and here's a selling point. John is going to get chopped from Brian or Vinny. Somewhere between 1 and 10 times.
was that one of the spin the wheel things? Because I haven't been able to that show.
No, they changed it, and now the winner gets to chop John.
Oh, so, that's the prize. Everybody's a winner.
Everyone's a winner, baby. All right. So that's it. 6035 Harrison Drive, Las Vegas, Unit 5, FSW Arena, Saturday afternoon at 12:30 p.m. Pacific, Poder Seis, starring Ed in San Antonio Productions with Christy Jans, Brittany, Blake, Melissa, cheerleader. Did I get the name wrong?
Cheerleader Melissa, Nicole Savoy,
yeah. Miranda Lees.
Christy Jans.
Yes.
I said that.
You said it wrong.
Oh, did I? Okay. She'll say I'm never mind. Okay.
Oh, she went to one of the dinners one time and she was like, "Who's that Mark that was talking about?"
Don't get me started on Christy Jans. MJF and no showing the meet and greet was a brilliant business move on the part of him and Tony Khan. Okay. So Ed, we're going to let you go, and Jeff and I are going to talk about this Go Home Dynamite show, which I thought was a hell of a show.
It was great until the flamethrower.
Well, there was a couple things that weren't great, but for the most part, I'd say it was like 80% good. So Ed, we'll let you go, and I'll see you tomorrow probably, or Friday at the latest. And take care. Good luck with the show, and we'll talk to you later, and we will get on with the regular show. So I'll let
see you guys.
Ed, go.
See you this weekend, Ed.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Menards is your electrical headquarters. We carry all the tools and testers you need for any electrical job. Stack up your toolbox with Southwire electrical products today. Right now, save big money on Southwire electrical tools, testers, cable ties, wire, and cable. Shop our huge selection in store at Menards. Ranked number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save big money at Menards.
All right.
That card is sneaky good if they come to put any effort in it, because getting Nicole Savoy out of retirement is kind of a big deal.
Absolutely, yeah. Curry disagrees with 80% and says 70. We'll find out as we go
Christy Janes, of course, everybody's favorite for after the steakhouse.
Some people liked her.
I still like her a lot. I still think she should get signed by somebody. And then actually, that cheerleader Melissa Nicole Savoy match, that may get me in the building. I like both girls a lot.
Well, I'm already thinking about it, because I think I'm going to the B&B show anyways. So I wasn't going to go. And then when I found out John was getting chopped, I was like, okay, I'm there. Jeff, we also wanted to talk about the big news that came out this week. I think it was big news. I remember about a month and a half ago, AEW released a schedule for the rest of the year, all the pay-per-views, which I thought was, they've never done this before. It's pretty cool. We got the whole thing scheduled out, and I hope nobody booked a trip to Chicago for the Labor Day long weekend, because don't look like we're getting all in or all out that week, because it's going to be on the following week, right?
Yeah, I think this hurts AEW quite a bit.
How?
Well, okay, because Labor Day weekend means it could be a travel weekend.
Okay, yeah.
It's going to be hard to get people to do the they've moved the pay-per-view to Saturday, I think, which makes
I missed
easier,
that. Okay.
To come in and out, but now correct me if I'm wrong, but I think all, which one's the one in England, All In?
All In and then All Out is in Chicago.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so All In is on a British holiday, right? Holiday weekend?
Yeah, banking holiday, yeah.
Okay, and then it just so happens that Labor Day weekend is the week after that, and that's why they did back-to-back. I don't understand. Well, I do and I don't, but you have a big enough roster where you could do two main event-style pay-per-views if you built them well.
Jason points out it's the first weekend.
Yes, Lord Football rules over all. I get that.
So definitely must be Saturday, but you're still going up against college football.
Yeah, you're going up against
huge.
because week zero is Labor Day weekend, then week one is officially the week after. So
and there's always some big games that week too.
Always at least one rivalry game on there
Yes, and it's always in prime time too. So yeah, it's going to be tough. I guess maybe they're just hoping to rely on a local crowd for that show.
They have to.
Yeah,
and I don't think it's there,
because I think isn't WWE running that market around that time as well? I'm almost positive.
I believe they were running a Labor Day weekend show.
Oh, so that's probably why they moved.
I think also, but don't quote me on that. I'm mixing up with Money in the Bank, which is,
you know what? No, it's September 13th. I think whatever date that is, for some reason that's burned in my head, because I saw this and they actually sold like 11,000 tickets in like the first couple weeks for some God knows what reason. It's either SmackDown or Raw, whatever day September 13th is. I'm almost positive they're running Chicago that week.
I thought that was last year, but you might be right. I'm checking right now. I have the schedule.
Okay. Here. But yeah, so they're moving, and I think it's better.
September 13th, they're doing Seattle. And then September 14th, they're doing Kennewick, Washington. 13th is a Friday. That's SmackDown. 14th is a Super Show.
So I wonder if maybe that's the one that sold a bunch of tickets then. Okay, maybe I was wrong. I think it's good for the pay-per-view aspect of it to be 2 weeks apart rather than one. But yeah, selling live tickets is going
to
be tough.
I think if they go balls to the wall for All In, then All Out is basically an afterthought, and they should probably just get rid of it and go elsewhere for a pay-per-view, or move All Out to another month.
Or if, again, and we talked about this last year, but if perhaps they finally sign this TV deal, maybe that could be, you know, like the first live special if they're going to be on Max, and maybe you make it free. If you have a Max subscription.
Yeah, you guys put that out there last year too, and then they decided to just charge you $60 for 2 weeks in a row, which really kind of ticked off a lot of people, I got to be honest with you.
Okay, so I was right then. The Friday the 13th, first SmackDown on USA. That's why they sold so many tickets. There you go. Friday the 13th too. Nothing can go wrong.
But they have a big enough roster. Why can't you build two cards?
You absolutely can build two cards. They could have done it last year too.
Yeah, and they didn't.
No, I mean, even I remember the last show, I put together a mock card involving people that weren't on the show. Now, this one is pretty packed because you got 8 main eventers in that, you know, in that main event. And so pretty much all your big names are taken care of for Double or Nothing. But you also don't need 11 matches on a pay-per-view.
I mean, I would let Ospreay or whoever main event Wembley, and then I'd make Swerve main event the stateside show.
And you could even have a big match at Wembley to determine a challenger for Swerve at All Out.
I don't like doing that. See, I still don't like the turnaround that quick. I don't like having 2 pay-per-views within a couple weeks of each other. Tony doesn't know how to build those types of things.
Well, it doesn't matter if you give him 2 months, 2 weeks.
You'll give him a bunch of super matches, and then you'll have a light pay-per-view buy rate, and then everybody will say, "Why? This was a banger card." It's like, okay, great.
Yeah. So I feel like there was one other thing that came up this week, but maybe it was at the end of last week.
Did we talk about? We talked about the Texas thing. Was that last week?
No, I don't think we did.
Okay.
Residency. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that came out on Thursday last week. So
okay.
They move in Collision for the months of July and August
doing a Ring of Honor pay-per-view.
Yeah. Ring of Honor pay-per-view, all at the Esports Arena in Arlington, which I think seats about 1,000.
2,000.
Yeah. We don't know what the setup will be for wrestling, but it's weird. Like, they're going to have a hard time selling tickets for, you know, 8 straight weeks, but I think it's been reported they're getting a site fee.
I would love this idea if it were 30 years ago, or if there was a local star they were going to build around. Like, if they,
well, I mean, they do have people from Texas. I mean, well, it could be Athena. From
Texas, but if I was going to do this sort of thing, I'd do it in Austin, and I'd rebuild Ricky Starks for 6 or 8 weeks.
You could do it around Ricky Starks. I mean,
you could. You know, they won't.
No. He might be gone by then. I've heard rumors.
You might get a nice rotating cast of people in and out here, and to keep it different and stuff.
Yeah.
That'll be fine. But, you know, this is suburban Dallas. This is Arlington, which is about, you know, an hour outside of Dallas, or maybe a half hour or more. You're going to be running it, you know, Ring of Honor isn't going to draw, I don't think.
Probably not. I mean, it might do okay.
You'll get super okay. Like, if you get like Bryan Danielson and Moxley, and maybe Omega for a show if he's back by then, which I don't.
It's kind of a waste, don't you think?
No.
What do you mean no?
No, you want that building to fill up, and you don't want an empty 2,000 seat arena for a Collision.
I'd rather fill up a bigger building with those guys.
I would too, but it's not going to happen. You got to start somewhere.
Fair enough. And it's not like they're selling pay-per-views because it's all on the streaming service.
Right. Well,
yeah. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, that's it's not that far away.
I meant for the Collision ones, not for the Ring of Honor. The Ring of Honor is going to be, you know, Briscoe versus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah. You want those guys on Collision because you want
to rotate in and out of
Collision. Yeah. You want people to watch your TV too.
You still want ratings on Saturdays.
Exactly. Yeah. And this past Saturday, for God knows what reason, they actually did a good number. I still haven't watched it. I watched half of it, actually, a half of Collision. No, I haven't started Rampage. So I'll try to finish that before I leave tomorrow, but I may not. And that's the first time I didn't
watch it, Paul. You won't know what's going on.
So this leads right into this show, because when we went off the air yesterday or last week, there was not a thing announced for Dynamite. Correct. And of course, I didn't watch Dynamite. I didn't watch Rampage. I didn't watch Collision. Now, I understand there was a whole huge card booked and it was all over social media and everything. I think it was like 12 segments that they had announced. And but if you only watch Dynamite, you didn't know about it. And so what reason do you have to watch this show? So if this show doesn't do good ratings, even though I thought it was a pretty good show, they have no one to blame but themselves, because you had Will Ospreay on the show. You had Bryan Danielson on the show. You had Swerve Strickland, Tony Storm, all big stars. And they did not advertise them last week on Dynamite. there's no excuse to not end that show and say, next week, Will Ospreay will be in action. Brian Daniels, you don't even have to tell us what the matches are.
You know what you could say is all the stars who are going to be on Double or Nothing are going to be on Dynamite next week. You're going to want to watch that.
They'll all be in the building.
They are bad at the hard sell.
Yeah.
Because they are lazy and they rely on social media.
Even like, what was the promo for Jon Moxley? It was, Jon Moxley will be in the building. And that's what we got. I mean, it wasn't false advertising.
No.
We'll get to Jon. But I mean, his segment I thought was good. Even though, I mean, he literally was there. You know. So, you know,
90% of success is showing up, Paul.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, it was a good show. But I mean, like I said, I tuned in this week and so I'd heard about Danielson and Satnam Singh. And I was like, I have no idea why this match is happening. And I still didn't really know why the match was happening when it started. And by the time it was over, I'm still not 100% sure why it happened, but
I knew they actually made sense.
We'll talk about it, I guess.
They hired the Jarrett goons to take out Brian Daniels.
Right, but why did they hire those idiots? Why didn't they hire someone who was effective, like Takeshita and the Callis family?
Because they're in the middle of a story that's confusing right now.
Well, if they actually had hired Takeshita, that can actually play into the Moxley storyline. And you could have had Takeshita beat Danielson.
Because Jeff Jarrett is an effective communicator and one of the best things in AEW now.
All right. We got to hear that music, I guess. And yeah. But we started out. So okay, here's something, Jeff.
Okay. Go ahead.
When the show started,
yes.
Dynamite starts, and I see some dude in a desert on some sort of a vehicle. And then all of a sudden I see Swerve and I see Tony Storm. And then I see that dude in the desert again. And I'm like, okay, I assume this is some movie tie-in that they're doing promotion
for Furiosa, which is a Warner Brothers production.
Okay. But they didn't tell us that.
No.
There wasn't, the announcers didn't say at the beginning, this is brought to you by Furiosa. Not a thing. So I was so confused. I had no idea, but again, I just assumed that they had some sort of a tie-in with the movie, but I didn't know what the movie was. So if the goal was to get me to watch this movie, they failed because they didn't even tell me what it's called, where it airs, when it airs. I have no idea. So
in theaters this Friday, I believe.
Okay. Well, they could have put that on the graphic or something. I don't think they did. If they did, I missed it, but I didn't fast forward through it. So I don't think so. But, We go to the ring, and Don Callis is on commentary for the opener, which is Orange Cassidy and Will Ospreay against Trent Beretta and Roddy. So we got two tag teams involving people that are fighting each other on the pay-per-view. It's a great, you know, awesome way to build to the pay-per-view. It's standard booking, but it's standard because it works. They had a really good match. Everyone got to showcase everything that they do. I will say that... I saw right before I watched this, I watched the Will Ospreay Shane Taylor match from Collision. And I think a week before I saw Will Ospreay and Lee Moriarty. And then I saw this. And Will Ospreay is extremely talented and I can't wait to see him live. But his matches are starting to get pretty patterned. Are you noticing that too? Or is this just my imagination because I watched
since
two matches real close to each other?
2013, yeah.
No, he's improved since 2013.
No, he has. I get that.
Look, yeah. But his TV match. I'm sure the pay-per-view match is going to be great, but his TV match is the same thing every week.
Paul, here's a secret. Most wrestlers have the same match every week if they're going over. They want to do their thing, and then they'll let somebody else do their thing. The problem here is that Tony Khan books them for 4 weeks in a row, so you notice that it's a pattern.
But okay, and you're right, and that's a great point that you brought up.
I would like them to switch up their style depending on the opponent and the style in which they are wrestling.
I'm not even saying you should do that for everyone else. What I'm saying is the draw of Will Ospreay is that he's special and he's different. And if we're seeing him every week, he ceases to be that.
No, I agree.
Okay.
I think you need to make your stars bigger attractions by not putting them on every week. Yes, it's making them shortage. And oh, it's a special occasion when Will Ospreay is on your television screen.
And
but they also need to push for ratings. So,
I would
you can have him do promos.
Yes, I was just going to say that because he's a great promo and he's over. And I would say Will Ospreay doing a 5-minute promo is going to be great television. It's probably going to get him more over than a 10-minute match.
Yes, but that, I mean, I've been pushing that for what? How long have I been on this show now? 2.5 years. I've been pushing for doing better television versus better wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. That said, it was a great match.
I really liked it. I don't know if you're gonna give like technical notes or anything, but
I was just gonna go over the finish, but
do the finish and I'll give my thoughts.
Okay, so Orange Cassidy hit a Slumdog Millionaire, then Will Ospreay hit an Os Cutter. Roddy grabbed the ref leg to distract, and then that brought out Wardlow. He laid out Ospreay. At that point, I was wondering if it was no DQ, but it was just the ref was distracted. So Roddy missed a Superman punch, but then he hit the end of Heartache and he got the pin on Orange Cassidy to get the win. So pretty standard booking, and then we had the post match. But before we get to the post match, what do you want to say about the match?
Mostly on the character work thing and also just where this match was.
Okay.
Trent is not a good enough badass heel to be the surly, I don't need friends type. I think this should have been more two stooges, you know, who are like, he's pretending to do the best friends act with
he's even got the Chuck armbar.
or at least, you know, or at least do something, you know, with him as opposed to, ooh, he's the surly loner. It's like, Trent's not good enough to be the surly loner just yet. He hasn't shown that he's a badass enough to be a surly loner. Let's hold off on that. But I'm going to throw something out here, and I want your thoughts on it, because I was thinking this the entire time. That match and that angle should have been the end of last week's show. I understand the Darby as the special partner coming in because it was the hometown-type crowd thing. But if you had held off in terms of who are FTR and Danielson going to be able to get on short notice for...
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And kept the mystery going. That's your secondary, quote-unquote, main event. That's your mid-card main event, the Roddy thing and the Orange Cassidy thing. You make that the last thing there, and you put into doubt whether or not Ospreay will be able to make it to Double or Nothing because of the beatdown or whatever. And then you end tonight's show with the flamethrower and Roddy and the fist pump of Tony Khan and all that. I think you have a lot more. Look, the people who already like this card are going to love this card. So excitement is the wrong word, but I think it's a better build that way. I think you build, you know, you make the mid card matches the main event of your second to last show, and then you make the main event matches the focus of your go home show, and then you're excited about everything going in.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that. And then you just show a recap of it this week. You have a promo from Will Ospreay, you know, vowing to get revenge and all that.
Yeah, because this entire show should be hard sell for your pay-per-view if you're into business. If you're into putting on good wrestling matches, okay.
And then the fact is, and they did a beatdown after the match. It was 4-on-1. They laid him out with the belt. They bloodied him up. Callis left. He got chased off by Trent. It was a good heat angle, and yeah. I was worried, oh my God, they're probably just going to make us forget about this and do it again 6 times over the rest of the night, and then they're going to bloody 3 other people. But thankfully, no one else had blood tonight that I know of, so that was good.
Do you count Malakai Black?
No. and we'll get to Malakai.
They did do a beatdown of Danielson after that match, but it ended up with him being on top. I get that, but I would not do this beatdown 4 days before your pay-per-view, because it's one of those things where it kills the quote-unquote reality of it, to be honest with you. It's like, okay, is he, unless you're going to do a he's not going in full strength into the match type thing.
Well, we still have Friday and Saturday too, so you got to remember that.
Those are going to be nothing shows.
Probably, and I'll be at one of them.
I'm not gonna watch either of them. So
I think Friday is being recorded as we speak.
Yes,
so.
It is.
Yeah. So we go backstage to the Elite. They point out that Darby Allin is banned from the building. So that's code. If you've ever watched a pro wrestling show, that Darby is going to show up at the end of the show, which he did. And they said he's got to be banned because we want the safest locker room in the business. Tell security not to let him in. Sanjay Dutt shows up, says they took care of FTR on Saturday. Would have been nice to see highlights of that. I'm not sure if they did. I skipped it, but I don't think I did. And I didn't see Collision, so I have no idea what they're talking about. He said, my Indian Giant is going to destroy the American Dragon. Matt says, you know what? I don't care if he wins. I just want you to hurt him. And then Dutch says, yeah, we're going to break him like a pencil. And he breaks a pencil. And Sanjay was a great, like,
Sanjay was fantastic.
Prelim heel manager.
Yes.
It was perfect. Yeah. And
I love that entire stable, but yeah.
Yeah, he's Gary Hart, or probably he's
Jim Cornette. He's the goofy weakling, you know, even though he knows how to wrestle and all that stuff, but he's weak in terms of how he's presented. And he's inept.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
he's not threatening. I mean, he threatens you, but he threatens you like a B villain in a comic book as opposed to like Darkseid or the Joker.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was awesome here. He earned his paycheck this week.
He's the Riddler.
Then we get the lights out for not the first time tonight. And it's the Bang Bang Gang. And they come down to the ring. They got a wheelbarrow full of belts.
Yes.
These guys basically have one title, but somehow they have 9 belts.
Yeah.
which I guess it's been explained is they got the ROH 6-man belts, the AW Trios titles, and they have the Acclaim's pink belts that they made for themselves. Those are their 3 sets of belts that they have. So they're carrying them around in a wheelbarrow.
Would you rather have any of those belts or the Western States Heritage title?
Probably these ones.
Okay.
Yeah, but I would rather have one set of belts, to be fair. But
it's ridiculous. Yeah.
So he grabs a mic. He says the greatest 3-man team in the I think he said the business. He said fully cocked.
Actually, Curry Head just had a good call there. He said Sanjay's Paul Jones, but continue.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, actually, yes, absolutely.
That's a great call.
That's the name who I was trying to think of, honestly. Fully cocked Colton Gunn, the Switchblade Jay White, and Austin. Austin looks a little pissed off that he doesn't get a nickname.
I don't understand this promo.
Well, he said guns up, and a lot of people did it.
Yes.
Why
are we doing babyface promos in the Bakersfield crowd?
Because he doesn't get what he's doing.
Yeah.
He says he brings up a gold member who's confused about his situation, which is Pac. And then they start making fun. Is it Pac? Is it Pac? Is it? And they just going on, like, off mic about this for, like, 30 seconds. And he finally settles on Pac. And he said, you made 3 mistakes. When the Bang Bang Gang is strolling towards you, you run away, but you just stood there. Number 2, when the Bang Bang Gang was handling Bang Bang business, what little bastard stuck his nose in our business? You. Number 3, and your biggest one, you questioned us. You pleaded with us and you begged us to make me care. So we gave you what you asked for and we laid you out. And they didn't show the footage, but he pretty much explained what they did. So that was good. I did see it. They just showed up and they had Pac's body like in front of them, and I guess they'd beaten him up backstage. And this goes to a Pac tape promo. He said, I'm happy now. You got my attention. I'm not even mad. I provoked you. Gentlemen, 3-on-1 is not exactly fair. So allow me to introduce my amigos, me hermanos. Lights go out again and they come back on. Penta's there. And then all of a sudden we see Phoenix in the babyface tunnel and Pac in the heel tunnel, and Penta's in the center, and Abrahantes is there. Jay White's ready with his bat, but the babyfaces laid them out. Fans are chanting Zero Miedo, and Pac challenged them for a title match on Sunday. So, and then instantly, Tony Schiavone said, we just got a text from Tony Khan, the match is booked. So, I think this whole Bucks running the show thing is...
They're not running the show.
Nope. Tony Khan's running it from his
good
car.
Villains. What's going on? They're in net.
Yeah.
This is the most AEW match to ever happen.
I'm looking forward to
it. I'm fine with it. I am most fascinated to see how the Lucha Brothers, how much they give to the Gunn Brothers, and to see how difficult it might be.
If we're charitable and say that the build to the Acclaimed against the Bang Bang Gang was a 4 out of 10.
This was
like 15.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. No. I mean, this is not much build, but
better.
it was not much build.
That's what I was thinking. But
no, but it was a lot better than wasting six months of my life.
Penta and Phoenix get their stuff in before one of them gets pinned. I would assume
and or hurt.
Yes.
Which my money's on Phoenix, unfortunately.
Of course.
All right. Next we got, I thought, the very worst thing on the show, and it's not even close. It was Hook and the bounty hunter, Brian Keith, and Katsuyori Shibata in a three-way for an FTW title shot. And this was set up by... So last week on Dynamite, Chris Jericho said, like, oh, Hook was going to be in a multi-person match for a shot. Then we had Shibata saying he was going to be in the match. But then for some reason, even though they already booked the match, we had qualifier matches on Saturday to get into this match. So long story short, these three guys won the title matches. And these three. And I mean, it's clear to anyone with a brain that the reason that Brian Keith is in here is so he could take the pin or eat the submission. What I didn't see coming was far worse than that.
So I had an inkling about a third of the way in that they're going to do a double submission here.
Yeah. So this, long story short, and there, I mean, it wasn't a long story because this match barely, you know, didn't even last. They went through a commercial break, but we only got about maybe 4 minutes of action on the screen, and ends up with Hook doing the red rum, and I think Shibata had a leg lock, and Brian Keith submitted to both of them. And we didn't even get the, you know, oh, what's going to happen? The refs talking to each other ever. It's just instantly the announcer says the winners of this match are. So it was clearly scripted. And then immediately, oh, it's a three-way on Sunday. And then after they announced it's a three-way on Sunday, Chris Jericho basically books the three-way, even though they already said it was going to be a three-way.
Why is Jericho not pushing for a match between these two?
Oh, because he's wonderful, and he's in the... We'll get to Jericho in a second, but this was so bad. And, I mean, they would have been better off just to book Jericho and Hook and Shibata in a three-way and not even worry about any of this qualifying shit. Like,
you asked a question earlier. Why did the Bucks hire the Triple J crew?
Oh, they should have hired Brian Big Bill. Danielson?
Well, you have a bounty hunter on the roster.
Well, that's true. And there is a bounty.
Who never counts cash. He never collects bounties, and he never wins.
Well, he
and
beat
I love the gimmick,
he,
and I
he
love
beat Harry
look.
Boulder, dude, on Saturday.
I love his look. I love his. Oh, yes, he beat one of the
Titty Iron, City guy.
Iron, whatever they call themselves, so Iron Rangers,
Iron Savages,
Iron Savages. But no, he is a bounty hunter, and they are giving out cash. And this man is not you can't rebuild him into. I love his look. Right,
and you know what?
Right up until the moment he wrestles, and then it's just like then he's indie guy. But
they would have had all the match too.
Yeah, give me.
Curry has asked me if I had audio problems. Not really. Bobby Cruz, I couldn't hear very well, or whoever was announcing at times. But the ring.
No, but I mean, you have other guys you could use for this. Yeah. Brian Keith didn't need to be in this, and you could use him for your Bucks story.
Or just don't even do this. You know, you could have just booked the match. Like they already built it up.
Just book it for a three-way type thing.
Exactly. That's my point. And then just have them have showcase matches to win.
Yeah.
You know.
I agree. Yeah. It was, but Chris Jericho should not be. Thank you, everybody. He's getting screwed here by having two guys that he has to fight.
So Chris Jericho was on commentary, and so this match is over, and the crowd's chanting, "Let them fight," because they want to see these two guys fight each other.
Yes.
And Jericho has a mic, and he's, "Yeah, let them fight." And he's like, "Hi, guys," and he says, "I just grabbed a mic because you know me, I want more camera time." And he says, two winners. Well, I guess that makes my job a little bit harder, doesn't it? que sera, sera. Well, I got to tell you guys, I'm really proud of you for everything you've picked up and being part of the Jericho Vortex. And as the longest running For the World Champion in history at over 33 days, I'm just getting started. So on Sunday, we're going to have a three-way For the Rules Championship match. First time in history. And then Shimani says he got a text from TK and it's official. I should also point out that Jericho was sitting down for about 9 minutes on commentary with Taz. And they're remarkably cordial considering that heavy heat angle they did just a couple weeks ago. But, you know, details.
Taz is a coward.
Yes. and so is Jericho. And Big Bill was behind him, and he's playing his role well, but this thing is...
This is my piss break match.
This thing is terrible.
I have three guys who are doing nothing for me in this match, and that includes Shibata, and that's unfortunate.
I'm so sick and tired of everyone telling me how great this Jericho gimmick is, because...
He's doing a very good job with it. The problem is it's again, like I said last week, it's cinnamon. It's a spice that overpowers the dish if you put too much of it.
And it would probably be a little bit better if you didn't also have the Bucks and Mercedes and maybe even Serena Deeb.
Yes, I said the same thing. Yeah, you have three people doing disingenuous babyface gimmicks. And also, I just want Big Bill to kill him.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't think we're going to get that. I think we're going to get actually Jericho going over Big Bill eventually to go on to whatever's next.
Yeah, to elevate them. Next, we got a video package for Mercedes and Willow. This was fantastic.
I thought this was great. Yeah.
Yeah, this was unbelievable. They showed footage of the NJPW Strong title match. Didn't show the injury, but they showed her winning with her Dr. Bomb. And
Mercedes
then
ain't coming to no Bakersfield.
Nope. They showed her getting carted out. Then they cut to her debut and just, you know, a bunch of great stuff. And you had, you know, both of them talking.
Becoming a sneaky hot wrestling hotbed because they had that NXT.
This crowd wasn't great tonight.
No, but they did a "This is awesome" chant for that Malakai Black Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah, at least nine of them. Maybe it just wasn't mic'd well, but it didn't sound like there were very many people there.
Okay,
I could be wrong, but. Yeah, you're right.
All I know is that the Bakersfield crowd was awesome for that NXT event I watched.
Oh, they were. Yeah. Our buddy, I think John was there. Okay. And he thought it was best show he was at last year. We got a Bucks commercial for their new shoes. Okada was in the commercial too. These guys are just, you know, again, they're playing the same role as Jericho is. Make it rain, pump up. Okada does a smile with the, you know, like ding going off his teeth. But the funny thing is, are they actually trying to sell these shoes? Like, these guys are heels.
Yeah.
Like, so...
Well, the shoe is ironic, too, because it's a Reebok Pump, which hasn't
been... And they've always been Nike.
Brown was in the NBA.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's very strange, but hopefully they sell some shoes. We got a Takeshita video package narrated by Callis. Showed all of his big wins, and it was basically just a promo for the match.
Did you see his comments, by the way? The translated ones?
Takeshita. Who, with Takeshita? No.
I don't know if this is being lost in translation or not, but if you read it straight, he's not having fun in America.
Oh, okay. No, no. Though, okay. Yeah, I did see this. Yeah, no, I thought you were talking about in this particular promo.
No. The ones not having fun.
Yeah, and he's like not happy about the way he's being used and stuff like that. And he's basically insinuating that Japanese wrestlers are kind of handcuffed in America. True. Yeah, like, you know, that you're only going to get so far.
You know, I think it depends on the system, and it depends on, you know, how you're presenting. Like,
I think they've done a great job with Okada, but
like, don't get me wrong, WWE, Okada. WWF have done a miserable job with most Japanese wrestlers, except maybe Asuka.
Nakamura,
and even then, it was her. Nakamura had a couple of great pushes, and then got kind of cooled down. You're not always going to be a star. I mean. The last guy, I mean, like, Kushi could have been better pushed. I think he was starting to get way over during the Bret Hart days. Muda could have been a world champion in the NWA.
Muda is probably the best pushed Japanese wrestler than Asuka.
He was pushed as a killer, and he was always pushed on top until he wanted to go home.
Yeah.
And I think if they had turned him babyface, he would have been molten cash machine for the Crockett territory.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, it was a good promo, and it was actually during this promo that I thought, man, they should have just had Takeshita in the main event instead of Satnam Singh, but what can you do?
Well, Takeshita could be a bigger star if they'd serious up Don Callis a little bit and just push that duo instead of this whole family thing, but they lost the story with Don Callis.
Or you give him like a Paul Heyman or a Gary Hart type.
Well, that's what I meant. It's Callis as Gary Hart here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and then yeah, and he just beat killer.
Because
and
you
basically
remember those boos the first week it happened. You know, he had the one note cello going on there, and just he comes out, and the boos were, and you thought, okay, this guy's made.
And we have, yeah, we, I mean, it we've seen it occasionally, but now when Callus comes out, it's just, oh, there's Don Callus.
It's for funniness. It's for wackiness. And look at my shoes.
Well, part of the problem is that we don't even know what's going on with him and Orange Cassidy.
Like, it's a completely screwed up story. And it's because they lost the thread when Kenny got injured.
Yeah, absolutely. So that package led to Konosuke Takeshita against Matt Sydal. Not exactly sure. You know, I guess, well, the point of this match was just to make Takeshita look strong before he loses to John Moxley on Sunday. Wrestling John Moxley in an eliminator match on Sunday. I'm not exactly positive why Powerhouse Hobbs got a world title match, but Takeshita is in the... I mean, I know why, but they haven't really explained it in the storyline.
Are we picking winners later?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're nuts if you think Takeshita's winning this match.
I think Takeshita may get an IWGP shot in Japan.
Nope. But we'll talk about it later. Okay. So they mentioned in this match that Sydal has 49 wins in AEW. And I pointed out on Twitter, I said, you know, apparently he's got 49 wins. I'll bet at least one of them was on TV. And turns out he's 1-17 on TV.
Yes.
He did get a win over Dante Martin in 2020.
Dude's just cashing checks and doing six-mans.
Yeah, and he just got completely killed here. And Takeshita beat him up after the match. And then this is where we saw John Moxley. He made the save. He grabbed a mic, and you think he's going to do a promo, and then he just hit Takeshita with the mic and said, "I'll see you at Double or Nothing." And that was it. And he leaves. Show up, get paid. Mm-hmm. That's it. John Moxley. He got his entrance for this. Yeah. And Matt Sydal, I think they really like him a lot.
Learn to talk, kids. It'll help you.
And learn not to get caught with drugs when you're about to get a push in Japan. he got stuck in jail for like 9 months.
Yeah, they don't mess around in Japan with the weed.
No, they don't.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Elite was backstage, and they're still trying to keep Darby away, and they just happen to run into Swerve, and he's just lying there, and he says, "What's up, turds?" And they asked him if he's seen Darby, and he said, "Nope, but hit my music, my match is next." And then Matt's yelling at people, "Come on, he's the champ, hit his music." It was goofy and wacky and makes no sense, but
Stone Cold Swerve Strickland.
Yeah, he comes out, and he gets the kind of the long entrance that, you know, WWE's been doing recently. It kind of, you know what, when they do this, it really shows the differences between the two companies. When they do the shot from behind, and you come in WWE, and you see Jey Uso, and he's looking out, and there's like 15,000 people, and the lights and everything's going. It looks like he looks like the biggest star in the world. And when these guys come through the tunnel, and they look out, and there's, you know, like 45 people a little curious.
Yeah, they're stealing the wrong things.
It doesn't work as well. They need to do what they're good at. But anyways, we get Swerve Strickland and Nick Wayne, and this is an eliminator match. So if Nick Wayne happens to beat the world champion, he's going to get a world title match. I don't think Nick Wayne's ever won on TV. I'm not sure exactly why he deserved an eliminator match for a shot at the world title, but whatever. He ended up having a pretty competitive match with the champion for some reason. They went through a break. Nick Wayne probably took at least 50% of the match. I mean, the ending was decisive. You know, he hit him with the last call, and then he like kind of just posed over his body. So, you know, it was like the idea was there.
The time for Nick Wayne to have a championship eliminator match is after Christian gets beat.
Yeah.
And then he can avenge Christian, and he can avenge Swerve beating him up at his own house. And he should be mad as hell.
Or how about after beating, like, jobbers and, 5 weeks yes, in a row. After,
yeah, look, you're not wrong. Mm-hmm. This is obviously just we want to beat somebody associated with Christian to hype this match. Oh, but we don't want to beat him too badly because he's one of our up and coming stars. So we're gonna let Swerve have trouble with Nick Wayne.
Yeah, with nobody at ringside, by the way.
Blood vendetta against Swerve.
Yeah,
and wrestles like a guy who doesn't have a blood vendetta, which nothing about this match clicked.
And he almost looked like he was conflicted. And when he won, he looked kind of almost sad.
He apologized to him during the match.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, and this is what people are complaining about with Swerve, that he's lost his
edge.
But
he's an absolute jerk off screen. So, I mean, he's doing the MJF I'm your scumbag thing until he gets in the ring and he starts apologizing to Nick Wayne.
Yeah. But, you know, they had a good match. You know, it was fine. Swerve won.
Yeah.
And then after the match, he gets immediately attacked by Killswitch. And out wanders Christian and Mother Wayne.
Killswitch looked like he might have torn his knee on that falling over the turnbuckle thing. That's one possible injury I noticed tonight in addition to others. But yes, go ahead.
Well, they so Killswitch Swerve low blowed Killswitch and knocked him out of the ring. Is that where he hurt his knee when he did that?
Yes.
When he fell out of the ring? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if he did hurt his knee, but it looked like his leg got caught up in the rope as he was doing the tumble out.
Gotcha. So that leaves just Swerve and Christian in the ring. So Christian bails. Swerve chased him, and as he's chasing him, he stomped Killswitch, like just kind of as he's passing by, and that was kind of cool. Hopefully he wasn't hurt when he did
it. Then Christian gets to do his best bit in AEW.
So they go right to the back.
Cameraman in all various positions and hallways as he runs away.
Yeah, he's running and the camera's following him the whole way. They get to the back. Then they go outside the building. And immediately they brought up, oh, Christian's on a buff stealing a car. And, of course, he finds somebody in a car and he steals a car. And he's about to drive away. He's all like got the shit in green on his face and he starts to drive away. And then a car pulls up and blocks him. And I'm like, how did Swerve get past him, you know, to grab another car? But no, it's Nana making his big return and he blocks him. So he was just waiting for Christian to steal a car. And then so this gives Swerve time to catch up to him, pulls him out of the car, starts beating on him, throwing him into the production truck. They did like a low key version of Rock and Cody. And then Christian gets away, climbs onto the roof of the car. They're fighting on the roof. Swerve gives him a DDT on the roof. Then Nana shows up, gives him a chair. Excalibur says we're going to see a concerto, even though there's only one chair. Then Christian managed to escape, and he ran away, and Swerve just stood there posing. So typical booking would make you think that Christian is winning the title, but there's no chance Christian's winning the title. So I guess we figure that he's finally going to get his hands on him on Sunday, even though he got his hands on him here.
I don't know. I'm a little conflicted as to why they didn't do more of a story about Nana and the Mogul Embassy, but it looks like they're just going to go straight ahead with it and just say, okay, Nana's still a babyface.
Babyface here.
I kind of like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I actually thought, and I was going to put this to you, I thought Ospreay and Orange were going to win that tag match, and then Ospreay possibly lose to Ospreay lose to Roddy and let him keep the belt, and they set up the Ospreay Swerve for Wembley and possibly put it on Ospreay. But I don't think that's going to be happening. I think Swerve is probably retaining here.
I think so.
I liked this overall. It just seems like, yes, now I'm going to concerto you on your truck. It's a little much.
But again, you need two chairs for concerto. So I don't know. I guess they were using the hood of the car as the second chair.
I did like the try to unlock the door and it either wasn't cooperating, but I think that was actually just supposed to be a comedy spot where the door was locked and they've dragged him out of the window. But if
that happened to Hook one time too,
that
remember?
Was great improvisation. If it wasn't, I was watching that. I'm going, okay, they're improvising here. That's good. Yeah, no, it was an effective brawl. It was good. I liked it.
Funny thing is, I wrote down Christian pulls him out of the car before he actually did it.
Yeah.
So I just kind of figured where it was going. So back into the arena, the lights go out again, and it took me a while to figure out who it was because he had different music, but it was Malakai Black. And then the lights go out again, and this time he's in the ring, sitting down, and this led to Malakai Black and Kyle O'Reilly. That poor dude, Kyle O'Reilly. He showed up a couple months ago, and he was all set to he's going to win the world title, and he's lost 2 years of his life, and all this poor dude does is lose now.
No, he's going to get to headline Ring of Honor.
Yeah, maybe. He should get there pretty quick, the way things are going. But
oh, I think it's gonna be Death Before Dishonor. I think he's gonna be Briscoe's.
Oh, well, hey, I'm here for that. They pointed out during this match that Rampage is gonna be on Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. So it's finally back on Friday, but it's in the afternoon, 3 Pacific. So I've decided if I'm gonna take a break from playing blackjack to go watch Rampage for an hour.
They're doing a hard sell of Rampage, and Taz is trying to get through it so he can go, I like these two guys kickboxing. It's like, no, yeah. do the ad, and then you can do this, Taz.
Nobody cares about this stupid match. No. Collision is on TBS at 8 Eastern as well, so they're moving networks again. They are moving these shows around a lot. For people that think these guys are getting a big rights increase, I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, they're filler. They're the new Andy Griffith show for TBS.
Yeah, you will find out. But
if there's a rain delay in a Braves game, they'll put on AEW Rampage.
Yeah. Tony, get your guys out here. I need you in an hour.
How are we going to get people in the stands? Doesn't matter.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
Do some pre-tapes. Pre-tape some matches we can play for rain delays for Braves baseball.
There you go.
Would not be the worst idea in the world.
They had a kickboxing match, like you said. It was fine. The crowd was dead. Black nailed Kyle with a jumping knee. It looked like it connected, and he fell out of the ring. And they his eyes.
And then they self-corrected because they go, we can't be dead for this match because then people will get upset about AEW. So they overcorrected and went to this awesome chance.
But when he went out of the ring, I was worried because they focused on him and his eyes looked like he was gone.
Now,
I don't know if he may have been briefly knocked out, or he may have just been selling really well. But they came back. He hit a rolling elbow, but Black kicked out at 2. This is where we got the light. This is awesome chant. And then Black hit the end and the cutter and got the win. Tony Schiavone was going nuts after this match. This match was incredible.
He's like, getting something in his ear telling him to hype that match.
Oh, my God. Because, I mean, it was fine. It was good. But, I mean, it was not incredible by any stretch. And then.
Hold on. Let me get. Who could give a damn about Malakai Black having a problem with Kyle O'Reilly again 4 days before pay-per-view?
The idea is Kyle O'Reilly is friends with Copeland and he's wrestling Copeland.
Well, then Malakai Black should kill Kyle O'Reilly.
Yes.
Dead.
Yes. Yes. But they're trying to protect Kyle O'Reilly. So,
yes.
Cool, Kyle.
There's so much future potential in Kyle O'Reilly. Yeah.
So Black is in the ring, and
sorry to any Kyle O'Reilly fans or friends and family. He's a very talented wrestler, but he is best as a stooge and a goofy, you know, air guitar with the belt and overselling, getting kicked in the head. That is what he is great at. That's why I like Kyle O'Reilly. There we go.
So the lights go red while Black is in the ring. I wrote down celebrating, but he was just kind of, you know, waiting for the angle to happen. When the lights went red and Black is looking around all confused, I literally wrote down, we're probably getting a bloodbath. And then as soon as I finished typing that sentence, all of a sudden the skies erupted and they dumped a lot of...
This was a pressure hose that hit him.
I
don't think it went well. I think I was looking at his eyes pissed at the end. He got hurt on this, I think, and
there were clumps on him.
Well, yes. Number one, it wasn't pure liquid.
No, I think they were trying to make it look like blood.
How I put it when I watched it, or I didn't put it like this, but it looked like you know when you have a shower head that's on the spray function and it should be on like the fan type of function. That first blast almost crushed him.
This was like when they did the Melk and the Steve Austin thing. It was about like that.
They don't understand. They have stunt guys there who are telling them, oh, it'll be fine or whatever. It'll just be a little bit. That was a pressure hose, and that did not look fun.
And it wasn't pure liquid. It was there might have been like, I don't know, like flour in it or something, like to clump it up.
There was some caking agent in there of some kind.
Coagulating blood or something.
Coagulant. No, you're
good. Coagulant. Yeah. Yeah.
Something like that. It almost looked like, you know, if they had filled up balloons, they have the pieces of balloon in there. But look,
it's the same stuff they used when they did that Jarrett and Hardy Texas Chainsaw match.
Yes.
Yeah. And when Hardy came back out, I mean,
it might be corn syrup.
Yes, 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 yes,
and,
yes. Yeah.
And it had hardened a little bit in the tank or whatever. And then when it came out, it kind of broke up a little bit. But
again, it was not good.
If there's heat there, so I don't think they tested this in dress rehearsal. I think they said, and then the hose will do it. And we have our professionals here. And I think they may have skimped on the professionals, but
we'd done this in WWE, like you know, you've seen it, you know.
Oh, yeah,
and that was my issue.
Service, and they can do this sort of thing for you. Meanwhile, I mean, I've heard this before. Even when it's like dropped out of a bladder or whatever, you're dropping it from the ceiling of an arena, and that's that force that's coming from there. We all took physics in some ways. An object in motion does not come to rest until an equal or opposite force hits it. And that thing is coming at high speeds down from that ceiling at that thing.
And more than one wave of it.
Yeah. Well, it was two streams, if you noticed it. And it was like, and he got hit by both of them.
Yeah.
And that was not a fun bump to take. I wouldn't be sure. Oh, my back. I can't lay down for 3 seconds.
So I changed my mind after this one. I changed my mind after this one about who's winning. Because, yeah. But, so we got Copeland came on the screen afterwards and said.
I agree with John. I think it was reckless. I think they probably did this stunt on the cheap and they said, sure, we can do that. And Malachi Black's not going to say no. So, yeah.
And Jason points out that Black saved it and it missed him first and he had to move into it. So that made it even worse. And for me, my biggest issue with this was...
That might have saved him if he missed it first. I thought he took it on the shoulder or something at first.
My biggest issue with this was that, you know, I mean, this was a WWE thing from like 20 years ago.
Yes.
And then they brought it back. Well, they did it with DX as well, but they brought it back for Edge in, I think it was the Finn Balor feud about 3 years ago.
This is a member berry spot.
But then they did it again, like a year later. And then now we're getting it here a year later. And, you know, and a critic.
Of Gangrel from Southern California. I mean, Bakersfield's not that long of a trip.
Yeah. But
they might do it for Vegas.
It was an old, because he lives in Vegas, right?
Does he? I thought he was Southern Cal. I thought it was.
I'm almost positive he's Vegas.
I thought he and Rikishi's school was in Santa Monica, but don't quote me.
I know he used to wrestle for FSW, so.
Okay.
But he said, he came on the screen, Copeland did, and he said, be careful what you wish for. And fans chanted, holy shit. And I just was wondering, how are they going to clean this up for the next match?
But they did.
They did,
even
to their credit.
Even though Taz was bitching about getting some on him, which
that's perils of the job. Look at Tony; he got dumped with that Ric Flair's drink last week. That's pretty awful. Although they said it was water this week, which it probably was. So we got a Danielson video package; it's pretty good. It just kind of replayed his promo that he did on I think it was Collision last week. And, you know, his first Anarchy match almost ended his career, but he's willing to fight this time because he loves AEW. The Elite don't represent AEW anymore. People more powerful than Elite have put prices on my head. FTR aren't going to make it to Dynamite, but I'm still here. And you better hit, because if you miss, you're not going to like the consequences. So then
this should have been a bigger story throughout the show that Bryan Danielson's here on his own.
Yeah. Yeah. And show us what happened to FTR. So,
and that people are looking for him and people have been paid by the Bucks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, they didn't really hit on that part of it as well, that the Bucks already took out FTR, and that was by design. And the funny thing is, it's like, so they took out FTR. They're not here on Dynamite, but there's no question they're going to be at the pay-per-view. Like, yeah. This is, yeah. So it's whatever is wrong with them, we know it's going to be healed in 4 days. So they ran down the Double or Nothing card, and we'll go over that at the end. I'll run down all the matches, and we'll do our, you know, short predictions. But they showed highlights of Saturday on Collision, and so this was weird. I haven't watched this yet, so I'm going off of other people's description of what happened. Serena Deeb apparently on Saturday was a huge babyface. She was getting Deeb chants, and she was working the crowd, and they loved her. And then Tony comes out, and she grabs her flag. And she does a strip tease behind the flag. And then she wrapped herself in the flag, and she's basically taunting Deeb. And this was done as a heel move on Saturday.
Yes.
Okay. Making sure I got that. Because then we go to this match, and it's Tony and Mariah May against Harley Cameron and Saraya. Tony and Mariah are complete baby faces in this match.
Yes.
And I didn't write down much. You know, it was not
perfectly cromulent.
It was slightly less than
below
cromulent. Yeah.
Cromulent adjacent.
Saraya was in there.
I don't understand why we're only using Harley Cameron the last 3 weeks in this.
I don't know. She's been on these shows for what, a year and a half?
We have three women on this roster, and we only use three of them week to week.
And we've seen Harley Cameron 3 weeks in a row. But whatever. I mean, she's fine. She's no better or worse than anybody else. We got loud Tony chants here. Luther was working the crowd. They went through a break. Tony Khan texted Excalibur during this match and told him that next week we're going to have a casino gauntlet match for a world title match. So this is the match that Will Ospreay won on the show after the last pay-per-view.
Yes, the people come in at various intervals, and then whoever gets the first pin wins.
A random number of people show up. We don't know who they are. We don't know how many there are. And the match can end at any time. And the winner's going to get a world title shot. And this is how, and at Forbidden Door. So this might be a...
So they're pushing that somebody foreign is going to be in this match.
Yes. Well, it's possible because we're in LA and that's close to an ocean. And
it's also close to New Japan's dojo.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I think it's very likely.
People could make the drive.
I think it's very likely someone from New Japan is going to win this this thing next week. So
that's my opinion.
But I am very happy that we've got a match for next week.
Yeah,
they've announced it, and this Casino Gauntlet match was very well received the last time they did it. So they're bringing it back. I'm totally fine with that. If they start doing it after every single pay per view to determine a challenger for the next pay per view, I'm gonna maybe complain.
I like building guys. I don't like just rando matches and battle royals.
But that does give you a month to build that guy, whoever it is. So you know,
not gonna build.
No, they were. If it's a New Japan guy, we're probably not gonna see them again to the pay per view.
Probably gonna be Sonata or Yano.
If I had to guess, I'd say Yota Tsuji. But
Yota Tsuji would be good.
Yeah.
Ren Narita.
So after the match, Tony Storm is celebrating with Deeb's flag. Fans love it. And then Deeb attacked her with a chair. All of a sudden, Serena Deeb's a heel again. She got
Luther with a chair. That made no sense to me.
Well, the fans hated it. Like, they just booed. And what is it? I'm not even going to put that up there. Sorry.
Deeb got out a shoe and hit Tony.
Yeah, hit Tony, laid her out with a shoe, and then put on a half crab while she's sitting on a chair. And the announcers were selling this like this could threaten the world title match. I almost thought they were doing this because they realized they had too many matches on Sunday and they were going to get rid of this one. Like, they were going to, you know, say, oh, Serena went over the edge and we got to cancel this match now. I don't know. I think we're getting the match, but it was weird the way the announcers were talking. Like,
I think one's going to get moved to 0 hour. I just think
that could be a match. Well, it'll be this one.
Yeah.
That was the other thing we didn't talk about. Well, we'll talk about it when we do the rundown. There's three main events on Sunday. You know that, right, Jeff?
If you have three main events, you don't have one.
No.
Yes, I know that. I have thoughts on that I can't say, but I think Forbidden Door match is pretty much set in stone for Tony. So yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Who?
Shirakawa.
Oh, for okay, yeah. For the women's title, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we got a Bullet Club Gold promo, Bang Bang Gang. They accepted the challenge of the Death Triangle, even though they already announced the match. So that's fine.
That was awesome.
And then when they did the rundown.
This trios match should be on 0 Hour.
Yeah, because when they did the rundown earlier, they didn't even mention the trios match, even though they had booked it earlier. And then here they said it was going to be on the show. Yeah, so I don't know.
There's no way. It has to be on the pre-show.
This is going to be a long show, dude. All right. Next, we got our main event.
Hopefully the beer will be cheap and plentiful. I doubt it, though.
And what a main event it was. Bryan Danielson and Satnam Singh.
5 stars.
What to say about this match?
12 stars for Satnam being 1 in a billion.
So Satnam, I mean...
I love this match, Paul. You're not going to get me off of it.
Danielson bumped around like crazy. Satnam barely moved. It's Danielson's birthday.
Satnam smacked the hell out of Bryan. That alone.
Yes, he did.
Twice.
Yes, he did.
Twice.
So at one point, Singh tried to choke Satnam through a table, but Danielson fought back, and he hit him with yes kicks. So he's on the apron while Singh's on the floor, and that's how he's hitting these kicks. Then he hit a running knee, and instead of taking a bump, Singh just sits down in a chair. Then Danielson hits him with the running Busaku knee, and Singh just kept sitting in the chair. And then he just got up, and he chokeslammed Danielson on the apron. Shimani said it's not a match, it's a hit. And then Singh covered him with 1 foot, but Danielson kicked out. Then he tore off a turnbuckle pad, and I don't know if I've mentioned it in some of the other matches. I think it's like the third or fourth time tonight that someone took off a turnbuckle pad.
Yes.
Yeah. Ref stopped him. Then Danielson hit a low blow, hit a Busaku knee, and then Singh ran into the exposed turnbuckle. He kicked out his leg and started eye gouging him, hit him with yes kicks to the chest, spin kick to the head, but Satnam no sold it. So he's on his knees and Danielson's standing up, and Satnam nails him with a slap.
Just smacks the crap.
Oh my God. But then Danielson comes back and he jumped on his back and he starts hitting him with the elbows of death, got him to his knees, put on an arm bar. Then he went for the lapel lock, got the lapel lock on, and then Lethal and Jared attacked. And it's a double DQ or no, not a double DQ, a DQ, straight DQ. And Danielson wins. But yeah.
This was, we needed a Satnam Fargo strut. I'm sorry. That's just poor planning on their part. I needed the Giant to do the Fargo strut with Jarrett and Lethal and Sanjay all doing it at ringside. And it would have been a perfect match, in my opinion. Look, Satnam's not going to take big bumps because it's hard enough to get up. They obviously did some good improvisation off of the table falling apart at ringside because somebody pulled the pin a little bit too early there. Look, Satnam's not going to be a workhorse. So if you're a work rate guy, you're not going to like Satnam Singh. I enjoy big men beating the crap out of each other. So I enjoy watching Satnam turn Bryan Daniel. I wanted more chopping. I wanted this to be Walther type of thing, but I understand you need to protect Danielson before Sunday. It's only 4 days before a pay-per-view where he's going to get destroyed.
Also, Satnam Singh's not Walter.
Also, I believe I believe Satnam had to call a spot in terms of the lapel lock and getting that thing there. The camera's right on him when he's doing it. I don't know what he said. Okay. Look, you people and your 2 points.
I'm not sure if has Satnam Singh ever even had a singles match?
I think it's mostly been tag team matches, but he's doing another one on Thursday because he's in the Ring of Honor tapings against
doing
Jimmy
a singles
Jacobs.
Match.
Yes, Jimmy Jacobs.
Oh my God. I mean, yeah, he's done tags. I mean, he's done some squashes.
If he kills Jimmy Jacobs, and I don't mean that literally, I'll be happy with that.
Yeah. So he's like, that's happening now.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
For air tomorrow.
So Singh's wrestling twice.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
He is your work rate champion.
How do you know it's airing tomorrow? Or maybe it already aired. Maybe they already taped it.
No, I think they already taped it, but they were plugging on Twitter for tomorrow's.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, well, I did see...
maybe they're pushing Satnam to face Mark Briscoe, and I'm kind of interested in that.
On last week's show, they had the... it was Jarrett's crew with Satnam against the Dark Order, and we got that visual of... John Silver in the ring with Satnam Singh. I sent you a picture of it.
I saw parts of that. Yeah.
Silver comes up to maybe his navel.
Yes.
Yeah, it's quite the visual.
Why Jeff Jarrett is not on this Double or Nothing card is a crime.
Not yet. Not yet.
For me.
Hopefully he'll be in the casino. Show. Maybe he'll be in the casino gauntlet match next week.
I need to text Mookie and get him on this Zero Hour in some way.
So after the match, Jarrett gets his guitar he almost laid out Lethal, but he stopped before he did.
I thought
Danielson dropped Lethal and Jarrett with kicks, and then he's 1-on-4, but he's running wild, and he grabbed the guitar. Then Dutt attacked him from behind. He swings the guitar at Dutt, and Singh
just punches this thing,
destroys this guitar with his fist.
And then Jarrett picks up the
the
neck
trunk. Yeah, the neck. Deck. Yeah. Yeah, the neck of it.
And uses it to choke Danielson. I thought that was
perfect. Nice. Yeah.
I thought that was clever. Yeah. And then the Bucks decide to make their appearance.
Yep.
With a big envelope of money, which is perfect.
Yeah. So the 4-on-1, I mean, you know, Jarrett's crews, you know, they're working over Danielson 4-on-1. So then the succession music hits.
They're not doing moves. They are kicking, they are choking, they are punching. I love it.
Just beating on them.
Yes.
And then the Bucks show up. They got this envelope. Dutt gets the money. And these guys are gone.
Get paid.
Yeah, get paid, get lost.
That's
so they're gone. Danielson makes a comeback, but they're gone. So, and then Okada, his music hits. He comes out. And
Trust of the Nines.
Yeah. Because the EV. Oh, yeah. So before that, the fans are chanting CM Punk. The Bucks go for the EVP trigger, but they missed. And then Danielson took them both out with yes kicks, and that's what brought out Okada. And as he's staring down Okada, he gets attacked from behind by Jack Perry, who continues to be the best pure heel in this company.
The best heat magnet in this entire stupid angle. He really is. He just, it's like people want to cheer Okada, and he's coming down with the suit to do something cool, and then Perry.
Not just his angle. I think he's the only pure heel in this company right now. Like,
you might be right.
Christian is, I would say, but
Trent and low level.
Yeah, okay. But Perry's better than both of them right now. Like, I mean, not in the ring. But...
No, Perry is a killjoy. And killjoys are great for wrestling.
Absolutely. Yeah, so he attacked from behind, and now it's 4-on-1. Refs are all coming out, but they don't want to do anything because the Bucks are in charge. Okada dropped Danielson with a rainmaker. Bucks dragged him out of the ring. They pull off a cover off a table beside the stage. Then we cut to the Contron, and a car shows up, and Darby's in the car. And so
this is stupid. I'm
so
sorry.
The announcers are going nuts, and they're screaming, and there's I have no idea. The camera is like far away. I have no idea who it is in this car. Like, I can't tell. So I had to rewind, and I still couldn't hear, and I couldn't tell. And then finally they said it was Tony Khan, but, like, you literally had to rewind it to hear. Like, I had no idea. You couldn't see that it was Tony Khan. Like, I guess if you knew it was Tony Khan, then you knew, but I don't know. It was fine, whatever. But then he comes out, and he comes out to the ring. He's got a flamethrower. The Elite scattered. Danielson put Nick through that table. Nick took the bump badly.
Yes.
But then my wife is watching, and she says, you know that bruise was there before, right? And I'm like, I don't know.
No, he took some shrapnel from the table into his
That's
side.
What I thought. That's what I thought.
It was bleeding.
He was bleeding pretty badly, but yeah. My wife is badly, convinced it was there before. They were kind of playing it like Nick might be out. I think they just want you to think that, but.
Well, I think we're burying the lead here, Paul, in that Tony Khan is an international arms dealer.
Yeah.
Allowing his wrestlers now to bring flamethrowers to the, you remember when Eddie Kingston brought a gasoline can and he's going to kill a guy. No, we're just going to up that a bit. This only ends one way, Paul, that during Anarchy in the Arena, Tony Khan's going to have to be set on fire.
I'm fully expecting Tony Khan to churn on Team AEW and join the Elite.
I do, too!
Yeah.
It's just feels like Bischoff joining the NWO in so many ways.
Or Vince, you know, I'm going to kill what I created.
Number one, he wasn't needed. Number two, if he was needed, what you do is you have him come out and introduce, I found a fourth guy for your team, Bryan Danielson. Here's Darby Allin. And then Darby Allin clears out the ring type of thing. And then Tony gets a little bit of a bump from that. There's going to be a stuntman that gets set on fire.
Do you think the people in the arena knew that was Tony Khan in that vehicle?
No. Well, maybe. It just depends on it, the shot was so quick
and far away.
A weird like angle.
Well,
it was from a 45-degree angle looking up, which is
It was weird. Yeah, and it was bright out too, so that doesn't help.
Tony Khan going to Bakersfield. Podunk down. Just save it for Vegas.
Oh, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you think that Tony Khan was going to all these shows, like in real life?
With the exception of the first one, yes.
Which was what, Winnipeg? Was that the first one?
Yeah, he was in Jacksonville for the draft, and I think he went to the other ones.
Well, no, Jacksonville was in Jacksonville.
Well, no. But he was in Jacksonville when it was in Winnipeg because he was in the draft.
No. The draft was the same time as Collision, which was in Jacksonville as well. So Winnipeg was 3 days later. Draft was over. I just assumed he would not go to the shows just to sell the angle.
I don't know. Maybe he didn't.
Yeah. I meant to ask like Sean about it or something, but I didn't think to, and I didn't want to sound like a mark, but I was just curious because I was talking to somebody about this and I'm, well, of course he was there. And I'm like, I don't know if he was. So anyways, maybe I'm just a mark.
I don't know, but they're overselling. Look at the Bucks have been doing this on the internet. I mean, Tony is overselling what the Bucks have been doing these past few weeks in terms of messing with the
show. They're doing nothing. I mean, if anything, the last two shows have been not too bad. So,
but again, maybe. Darby Allin has a flamethrower.
Yeah, well. And then he blew it out like it was
I think Darby's going through a flaming table of some sort.
I guess Darby's going to wrestle. He did a promo after the show last week.
They already have a broken foot guy hit by a bus. How much worse?
And got a concussion from a beam hitting him on the head when he was hiding under the ring for some godforsaken reason.
Let's get through this so we can get to the card.
All right. Well, no, that's it. Show's over. So let's do this card. Let me back up in my notes here. Okay. So, I'll go in order that they set it. So the main event is, I believe it's going to be the Elite against FTR, Darby, and Bryan Danielson. I think there's one finish. Jack Perry submits Bryan Danielson with a guillotine.
Yeah. or somehow Perry hurts Danielson and he does another fake convulsions thing.
I just like the guillotine because of the Punk stuff, you know. Like, I don't like it, but I just think that's what they're going
to
do.
That sounds acceptable. Or a go to sleep.
Yeah, that would work too. Or there's a possibility that Claudio shows up and turns on his team. I could see that too.
God, I hope not.
So the way they position this would be next, which would tell me it's the co-main, which is going to be a death spot for them, but Willow and Mercedes for the TBS title. So this is part of the triple main event. So they are positioning the TBS title ahead of the women's world title, which, to be honest, the whole time Jade had it, I think it was probably more prestigious. So,
yes,
you know, yeah. So really, like, Toni Storm for the last couple months has been more prestigious, but now we're back to this. So I think it's pretty clear Mercedes winning, right?
Yeah, I just want to know how, because I think you can't have Mercedes beat her clean. I think Chris Statlander is the party to, and that's why you don't have Claudio in the actual main event doing his thing, because I think the Statlander turn is the emotional.
And they've been very quiet on that whole Statlander-Stokely thing of late. So
And I don't think Stokely goes with her. I think Stokely stays with Willow, to be honest with you.
Okay, could be. I do kind of like Stokely and Mercedes as a team, but I
do too.
So we'll see. Could go either way.
Well, maybe it's separate things. Maybe Statlander turns on Willow, but Stokely still goes with Mercedes.
That could be. Swerve defending the world title against Christian. Pretty safe to assume Swerve's retaining here, right?
Yeah, I hope this match over delivers.
Well, I think it's gonna be a really good match. So I don't know what you'd consider over delivering, but I'm expecting it to be you know, maybe the...
I want to buy that Christian might win the title at some point.
Okay. So like at least one good fake hope spot. Like, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that could be. It possibly could depend on how whether or not Killswitch is hurt, like you said he might be.
Yeah.
Probably I
don't know anything about that. I haven't seen anything yet. So
probably get like a low blow from like Mama Wayne to lead to a nice near fall or something at some point.
Yeah.
Adam Copeland in a barbed wire steel cage match against Malachi Black. So before tonight, I kind of figured Copeland was going to retain, but now I think Malachi Black's going to win.
I think Malachi Black wins and it starts the Edge turn to darkness stuff.
So if Edge loses, he has to get down on one knee, which I guess was explained basically means he has to join the House of Black. Is that what it is? Or the whole idea of Malachi stealing the wedding ring was to return Adam Copeland to what he was before he got married, which was a bad dude. That's what they explained on Saturday. Because it was funny. I don't know if you heard this.
If Malachi's on his way out, I don't know anything about his contract status. This could be the Beth Phoenix spot.
Okay. I think what I had heard was that he has a one-year option coming up that they could either renew or not renew.
Okay.
And it would be July because that's when he debuted. So, and I don't think he's been out with injury at all. Could be wrong about that, but
no, he just doesn't like losing.
Yeah. It was funny. It was on Collision. I didn't see it yet, but I heard about it when, Nigel says, well, you know why he took the wedding ring, Tony? And then Tony's like, no, I don't. And he's like, well, and then finally it was like, all of a sudden it was almost like Tony Khan screamed in somebody's ear and explained the storyline. And then Nigel very clearly explained it. And then it made sense. But before that, I think Tony Khan assumes we're putting these pieces together in the storyline that's in his head.
That sounds so right.
Yeah. All right. Roderick Strong and Will Ospreay for the international title. I can't see Will losing. I mean, it's too early to beat him, and I can't see Roderick Strong being the one to beat him, you know, to give him his first loss. I mean, if anyone loved me as much as Tony loves Roderick Strong, I'd be happy, but...
You know, because of the beatdown tonight, I could have seen in some way Wardlow getting Ospreay the win by DQ and then possibly saving Wardlow Ospreay not having that title.
Okay.
Being able to get the world belt at Wembley, which I still think is probably on the table.
I don't think it is.
But it's not going to happen. Ospreay's getting this belt. And
yeah, I think that's why Ospreay's getting this belt, and I think he'll get really...
That was the plan, but it would be like, if I was looking at these ratings, I might have a second thought.
I think Will's got a big match at Wembley. It's just, you know, probably for his title, but not for the world title.
No,
that's my prediction. Yeah.
Yes.
Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta in a straight wrestling match. Which Tony Schiavone made clear to say, I don't know if I can trust Trent Beretta in this one.
Nor should you.
Orange Cassidy won the first time, so logic says that Trent should be winning this one to lead to a stip. I kind of hope they don't do that, and Orange Cassidy just beats him, but I don't know.
Not going to happen. You're correct.
So it's going to be what I said first? Trent's going to win?
Trent's going to win. There's going to be a stip for the next one.
And Callis gets involved somehow. Maybe churns on Orange.
Yes, and then Trent becomes a part of the Callis family, and Statlander later, probably.
Makes sense. Yeah, right, because, they're kind of tied together, and they haven't really broken up, Statlander, and same thing with Rocky. Rocky hasn't really broken off from that group either.
Well, Rocky's dope, though. I mean, he came in last week. He was still trying to save Trent.
He was trying to get Orange Cassidy to team with him.
Yes.
All right, FTW, the For the World title. Chris Jericho, Hook, and Katsuyori Shibata.
Jericho retains, and Shibata and Hook end up fighting each other and somehow pinning. One gets the pin on Shibata.
Oh, maybe. It's probably too early for Jericho to lose, right?
Yes.
Even though I would be
and
totally
plus, Big
fine.
Bill's there. It's a no DQ. It's a three-way.
Yeah. Probably, Shibata. Probably Hook puts Shibata out with the red rum, and then Big Bill pulls Hook out, and Jericho pins him.
Yes, and Jericho steals the pin. One, two, three. That's what it is.
John Moxley. Okay, this one. John Moxley and Takeshita in an eliminator match. I think John Moxley retains, and the reason
he's gonna
being
retain, it's an eliminator match.
Well, no, but I think he wins. Okay. Because I think if New Japan was okay with Takeshita having a title match, it would just have been a title match on this show. I don't think that they want Takeshita wrestling for their title because he's a DDT guy.
Fair.
Yeah, and you brought up earlier having him challenge in Japan. The problem with that is, and you may not realize this, and most people listening to this and watching this probably don't realize this at all either. To New Japan fans, Konosuke Takeshita is like Blake Christian here. Like, he's not, like, he's a wrestler in an indie promotion. Like, nobody knows who he is in the mainstream. Fair. And they don't watch AEW. They don't give a shit about AEW in Japan. So he's a much bigger star in America than he is over there. So that's why I think. I mean, logical booking would say you're right. And that's the reason why it's a non-title match, because they're going to do a title match on the next show. So, you know, maybe he loses and then wins that gauntlet match. I could see that. You know, the funny thing is, I heard that Takeshita was going to be wrestling for the title at Forbidden Door. I remember that rumor. Source of mine told me that. Somebody told Ryan Frederick, our friend, that Takeshita was going to be wrestling Moxley on this show. So Ryan was right. But we might be right too. It could be both. So
I don't think Moxley Takeshita for the IWGP title at Forbidden Door is going to go. If they don't like it, if they don't want him wrestling for the title, they don't want him wrestling for the title because of DDT politics. You've convinced me of that.
Okay. Well,
I was going to snarkily say maybe Evil could fight for the IWGP title.
He is on June 4th.
God.
Oh, it's going to be horrible. And they did a poll in Japan to see who, to see which match the fans wanted as the main event, either Moxley, Evil, or the finals of the Best of the Super Juniors tournament. 80% chose the finals of the Best of the Super Juniors, so they're going with that.
I will hear the whining of the work rate people. Don't get me wrong, but if you had Forbidden Door be Yano and Moxley with Moxley getting his win back, I don't think anybody would mind. I think it'd be an entertaining as hell match.
I think Evil might beat Moxley, honestly, but
oh god,
yeah, I know.
Evil stinks.
He's terrible, but they love him over there. All right, women's world title match: Toni Storm and I wrote down Serena Dweeb. I swear to God, I didn't do that on purpose, but that's what
Serena
it says in my
Dweeb.
Notes.
I've hated this build, man. I think they did her dirty. If you think they mishandled both. They have now mishandled three women in service of Toni Storm, because I think they really screwed over Thunder Rosa too. So Thunder Rosa, Deonna Purrazzo, and now Serena Deeb have all been eaten alive by this.
Sky Blue as well, but we forget about that.
Okay. Well, Sky Blue's kind of rated. I'm talking about people who could possibly win this title.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, she's going to retain, obviously. And
they brought in Deonna as a huge free agent type thing, and then they just did that with her. That just boggles my mind at times.
Sign
Nicole Savoy now. Let Nicole Savoy have a run and belt her.
Because we're probably getting Tony and Mina Shirakawa at Forbidden Door, and then Tony and Mariah May at Wembley would be my guess. Yeah.
Unless Jamie Hayter can somehow make a move.
Unless Jamie Hayter can come back. Yeah, and if Jamie Hayter comes back, then she should be the one to beat Tony, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then the final match so far, and Tony will probably announce another half dozen matches. What is that? How many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, 9, and then 10 with the trios match. Good Lord.
Gang wins.
I think the Death Triangle might win. But I don't know. I guess we're off there. No, you're probably right. Yeah. Bang, bang, gang.
I think somebody bigger than the Death Triangle needs the Trios title.
There's nobody bigger than the Death Triangle.
They're not over. Well, I mean, they're there. Maybe
they're actually pretty over. But
they're pretty over. But
the problem is you can't rely on them to be around for more than 3 weeks in a row. So,
you put the belts on the Death Triangle and then they lose to, like, Commander, Brian Keith, and, you know. Bull Bronson.
No, I mean, you're probably right. They're going to win the Bang Bang Gang, and then they'll probably end up losing him back to the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass at some point.
Yeah, I think Juice Robinson ends up back somehow, too.
Ooh, I like that. Maybe they do the Bang Bang rules, and it could be any three of the four defending the title. Or give Juice three more belts. Now they got 12.
I just think the Acclaimed need to get rid of Daddy Ass.
Daddy Ass, yeah.
And run somehow.
I agree, yeah. All right, so that's going to do it. We will be Jeff and I are going to be in Vegas. I'm getting in tomorrow. You're going in tomorrow too?
Yep.
All right, cool. Maybe we'll see. I would going to want to grab a meal when I get off the plane. So we'll talk off air about that. But so we'll be in Vegas this week. We'll be at Double or Nothing. Kevin Ely will be here on Sunday after the show doing a post-game show. Garrett and myself might be doing, and maybe Jeff too, maybe not, some sort of show, maybe on Saturday. We're going to Collision, so we might do a show talking about Collision, maybe even a little bit of Queen and King of the Ring if we manage to watch that, and just talk about the convention and everything. Just a quick show, maybe probably like half hour, 45 minutes or something. So it's going to be a fun weekend. Hope you all enjoy the pay-per-view. Hope you are back next week for us to come back. Vegas, baby. Tomorrow night. Be there, be square. Got some final plugs, Jeff, before we head out.
I'm bringing my recording equipment so I can tape Shake Them Ropes on Thursday night. we're going to preview King and Queen of the Ring and also this show, Chris Novembrino, plus any news that drops in the next 24 hours or so. I love waking up early and playing Bubble Craps for a number of hours and just putting on my headphones and grinding out $300 worth of win for spending money. But I'll be at the Texas Day Brazil thing, and I'll also be at Double or Nothing. Other things will just depend on my company at the time. So also follow me at Crap Game 13. I love moonshine though. But
my plan is to dump my luggage at the room and then go find a blackjack table and win enough money to pay for my food. Nice. And then go eat some food. And this is what I do. As soon as I'm up $50, I just leave, and then now I can pay for my food. And so far, every time it's worked. So we'll try to keep that string going. And for me, I've got the Joy of Wrestling on this very network. I had JD Oliva on Monday. We had a great show. He talked about his new book and he talked about going to shows with his son. I strongly encourage you to check it out. It was a great show.
Yeah, that's neat. No, he posted some great pictures of him and his kid too when they.
Yeah, that's I love it. And this coming Monday, I'm going to have Draven, who, if you've listened to the Double G show, he does that show with reviewing, I believe it's 1989 WCW that they're talking about right now. Yeah. Yes. So he requested to be on the show. So he's going to be on Monday at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, right after Raw. Easy to remember. So check that out on this Fight Game Media YouTube channel. So for Jeff, I'm Paul. We'll see you in Vegas. Later.
Crap stable, baby.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.